Okay, I think we're recording. It's April 11th, 2021. I'm Caleb Hamilton here with my high school gymnastics coach from 30 years ago from Cooper High School in Abilene, Texas. I graduated in 1991 after attending from 1987 to 1991. And Coach Jim McKinney was my high school gymnastics coach during that time, and we've been lucky enough to keep in touch throughout the years. So just to get started, 1991 was kind of a special year for me. We ended up winning the state championship that year. We had five seniors that year and had a great time. I was curious, as I was getting ready for this interview, how many state championships did you win?
I won three. 1979, 1991, and 1992. Our school was in the top three 15 times.
So we had, in 91, we kind of had the big five, that we called ourselves anyway, myself, Andrew Klauman, Greg Clark, Robert Menor, and now that I'm recording myself, I'm going to Donnie Robertini, and that's five, right?
Yes, I think.
Okay, and then the next year, you won it with Kyle Bowman and that group.
Right.
Okay, and then how many more years did you coach?
Nine more years.
Nine more years.
This was the most dominant team that I ever had. We won in 79 with four guys. And then we were in the top three several times between there and 88. And in 88, it started to be a comeback. Within about a 5 or 6 year period, we were first, second, or third every year. In 1991, we just dominated the meet. Very beginning of the meet, we were on floor exercise, and our first guy up got a great score, and we never looked back. We just kept dominating. Everybody was hitting the routines. Everybody was having a great time, and the other team just had to sit back and watch.
Yeah, that was awesome, and a lot of preparation went into that on everybody's account.
Right.
And I remember some of the gymnasts before our year, you know, kind of helping to prop us up as we were learning the ropes, so to speak. But how many years total then were you at Cooper?
I was at Cooper 25 years.
Okay.
This particular year, I went to the T-shirt shop the week before and had shirts made up for the championships. That we were the state champion. Yeah, I said, what happens if you don't win? I told him that is not going to happen with this group.
I remember going to the meal after the meet, and you presented the blue shirts with all of our names and state champions, and all of us were like, oh my gosh, like... Right. How in the world did that happen? Yeah, that was...
Another guy the year before had caps made up. So I made T-shirts. And when I gave you those shirts, we went back to the gym. And I remember calling you over. Coach Williams, I want you to meet Caleb Hamilton. He said, I see your damn shirts. I think he was second.
Oh, that's funny. That's awesome.
But that whole group for 5 or 6 years, great people to work with. There's always stress being a coach as to what can go wrong. Somebody fail classes, somebody get hurt, somebody quit, somebody do something stupid on Friday night, and they're not there the next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's some of the questions that I had pulled up for you, too, just to kind of navigate that. I mean, for over 20 years, kind of working with young young teenagers and kind of on that movement towards young adulthood. It's a lot of unknowns for sure. So
I remember going over to the office one day and I said, I hear one of my gymnasts is over here in some kind of trouble. Oh, he's not here anymore. Well, where is he? Oh, he's in that squad car out in front of the school. We're taking him downtown. I said, do you mind if I go get him out of that car and bring him in? As long as you stay with him. Open the door, bring him in, and we didn't have any problems during that period of time while I was sitting with him. He's really strange.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely, I know some of the stories, and again, I know some of the, my story, like, I didn't have my mom was a single mom, a lot of my friends were single moms, and we definitely leaned heavily into each other and into the gymnastics world, and you were kind of that rock holding a lot of us together, and I'm sure, again, that you've got lots of stories and memories of, just from outside of even the gymnastics world.
Right.
Some of the personal aspects of that. You got anything off the top of your head on?
Well, I remember knowing the mom pretty well because I know they had quite a struggle. And it was quite a deal to work with them. Had a mom call me once about 11 in the evening. My son is running away from home. What do I do? I said, I'll be over there in 5 minutes. Get over there, and I said, where is he? He's has his car out in the alley. He's packing up his car. He came in the gate. I said, come here. You bring your car around and park it in that spot over there and go to bed. And you come to my office first thing in the morning.
And he did it.
No more words said.
Wow.
But that mom needed help at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of us did, during my high school time, we had Donnie with us for a while and Greg with us for a while, and just trying to offer any sense of stability through any of that we could for each other. Yeah. And I look back on that now as being an adult and thinking about how, mom just being a rock, and then the gymnastics as a group,
right,
kind of being the social rock for us and for our group of kids. And I'm still convinced to this day that a lot of us could have meandered in a lot of different directions.
That's true.
So,
but your mom was great, and I visited her quite a bit about you and some of the other guys living at your home, and I think you were more mature than you realize. Because you were the guy holding all of them together. And it turned out to be a great group.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always easy.
No. No, it wasn't.
And as a coach, the most difficult things are the things that are not really related to your sport.
Right.
And I always try to not have many rules and not many consequences, because then you got to stick by those. My main thing was that you knew what I expected. My athletes the whole time knew what I expected. And that's what I said. I expect you to do what I ask you to do. I'm not going to try to be too hard on you. I'm not going to mistreat you. And I always told them, I'm not going to allow you to abuse me.
That's right. Yeah, you expected a certain level, though. I came in as a freshman with long hair and, I was lucky to stumble into the gymnastics altogether, but once I found out that I enjoyed it and found a home there, you kind of had this level of, okay, if you're going to be a part of this and if you're going to compete, we're going to cut your hair and we're going to, present ourselves in a certain manner. And again, that structure, I think, helped all of us. And I didn't want to let go of my hair. And I remember I had mom cut off about an inch every week.
That's right.
for a number of weeks. And,
that's right.
And until I was competition ready, I guess. But But you always wanted us looking sharp, especially when we traveled out of town. We had to wear a tie. You wanted us looking good and behaving appropriately. And again, I do you have any other stories like during a meet or during a travel time or during a competition where that comes to mind that sticks out?
Not really. I think it's kind of funny that we got together not long ago and one of the guys said, "There's that look." And I said, "What?" They said, "You always had a look that we thought we better shape up." But I think the dressing appropriately and looking nice on trips are things that would serve a person like yourself as a doctor.
Oh, of course.
Even now, when your people come into your office, they want to see somebody that looks like a professional.
That's right. Absolutely.
I have a business now, and I'm a salesman. And if I'm going to a new customer, I always make sure I get a haircut the day before, I'm clean shaven, and I wear nice clothes. And I hope that passed along to the athletes. And I never wore, did I remember, t-shirts in the practice or ugly clothes. And I think if I were a coach now, I would say no cell phones in the gym.
That's right.
And that includes mine. I turn mine off. Every now and then I'll call a coach during his practice and he answers.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Because mine would be off.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on you. My main thing that I wanted to do was to get each athlete to believe in themselves and believe they could do it. And once you do that, then they're going to believe in the coach.
That's right.
And then they're going to listen to you.
That's right.
But I tried to focus on each guy and have a different plan for each person and let that plan be as a broad plan and also the detailed plan so that you knew what to do when you came in the gym.
That's good. That's interesting. You mentioned the cell phone. As I get through my work day every day, I don't carry my cell phone with me as I see patients unless I'm expecting a call from another provider. And
right,
obviously there's times when I have to be available, but that's a good point. And,
I wanted to dedicate that particular amount of time on the team and on each individual. And not be distracted with other things.
Yeah.
I would have the principals come over and say, "Coach, we've been trying to get in touch with you, and we're your bosses. We want you to answer when we call the phone." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, do not call during this particular time.
I'm busy.
I'm busy." "Coach, you didn't check roll for this class, mainly my JV class. You haven't checked roll for this JV class in 2 months. That's because when they hit the door, I have something for them to do. That means I have something to do."
Yeah.
That was my focus for that time. And I forget check roll.
Yeah. That's good.
They told me one time, "This guy, from the first day of school, signed up for your class. You've never marked him absent, but he's never been here." I said, "Well, I work with the guys that are here."
That's right. I'm busy with the ones that show up.
Right. Yeah. But those JV classes were as important or more important than the varsity. The varsity knew what to do, and they were going to come in and do it, whether I was, you know, focused or not.
Yeah.
But I remember you, when in your long hair, I gave you an assignment to do. There were some front handsprings on the floor. I said, "I want you to stand on this side of the floor. I want you to just jump, do a front handspring, do three in a row." I go down to the other end of the gym, working with some other people, glance back across the gym, and I see you doing what I'd ask you to do. And I knew then that man is a winner. Hmm. He's going to be a success. And you were the leader of that group, and you helped me keep them focused.
Yeah.
I remember one day I said, "Caleb, Don has his shirt tail out. Well, why are you telling me? Because you are the leader, and I expect that not to happen again.
That's right. I remember the shirt tails. That's right.
Details of...
That's right.
Everything relate to how you perform in a meet.
And that takes... Yeah, that's... So taking that amount of detail and something that you hammered at home as far as expectations, and certainly as we prepared for meets, and you would have us get up and you would judge, and you would make yourself available and encourage and set us up to do, I don't know how many routines before the actual meet, to try to, you know, I guess it's one thing to do a trick, obviously another thing to string it together for a whole routine.
Right.
But boy, the judging that we encountered, and all of us all the time, and something I enjoyed then as I got a little older and went to college, and you came up to OU to judge. And then obviously we were speaking earlier today about judging, but some of your, I mean, you've got experience judging for the Olympics and helping organize and arrange. And I guess maybe you can reflect upon, you know, taking it to our level as a high school gymnast, and then all of the experience that you've kind of encountered and worked with through the years with judging.
Well, I was thinking about preparation for the meets, and I would have people tell me, your guys just won the state meet, and you were not jumping and screaming and hollering. You just were very quiet. I said, because what happened is exactly what I expected. I expected everybody to do what we had prepared for. So it wasn't like a big surprise. If they do poorly, then I'm really upset, because that wasn't what we had prepared for. And that I still remember that when y'all won the state meet, it was just like, yep, we did exactly what we'd planned, and all the work every day. That was the stress, was getting it all together.
Yeah.
But then when it happened, it was the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But judging the colleges and all the national meets prepared me for working with you guys. And all of my principals understood that. I thought it was fantastic. I would get a national meet and be gone from school for 3 or 4 days. And they said, that's part of your job. I had one principal gave me 7 days off to attend the world championships in Fort Worth. I thought that's pretty amazing.
It's pretty nice.
Every time. And one of them said in a faculty meeting, he said, okay, the end of school is coming up. No one is allowed to miss a day. All of you teachers have to be here every day. And I was asked to come to a national training camp at the Olympic Training Center that week. And I turned it down. And I saw him later, and he said, you got anything going on? I said, well, I just missed a camp up at the Olympic Training Center. You said not to miss school. He said, I didn't mean you. You're in charge of the gymnastic program, and that's part of making it better.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty good. Do you remember, were you able to go back and sign back up?
No, it was already happened.
Too late, yeah.
But I got along with my principals, I think, because I took care of my own business out there. And they didn't have any problems a lot of times from my kids.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of kids on my team that, after they got on my team, they shaped up a lot. The principal really appreciated it. And you know who both of them are, but I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
But they would say, we need this guy in the office.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go get him. No, you're going to go over to his class, room 21, and pick him up and bring him over here. And while he's here, you have to stay. I'm going to send another teacher out to take your class.
Mm.
Because if you're not here, he's going to be a problem.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So then that principal, that year, he came to the state meet.
A lot of support.
A lot of support. Because he figured it went both ways, you know.
Yeah.
And at one time, he'd been the basketball coach and didn't like gymnastics because it was taking up a gym.
Yes. Yeah, that was prime real estate.
It was.
At our high school.
Were there basketball goals when you were there?
I think when I arrived, but then I came back after 1 year, and they were, like, after a summer, and yes. I think they were gone.
What happened was we got a new principal in the spring and a new basketball coach that didn't know anything about the school. So I went into the gym over the summer and took down all the basketball goals. I filled the holes where the bolts were, and I painted the walls. So when school started, a new basketball coach came in. Said, the football coach said I could use this gym for practice. There are no goals. I said, have you ever been lied to by a football coach before? Yeah, I hate those sons of bitches. And of course, the principal didn't know any difference because they'd never been in that school.
Yeah.
So for a long time, we had our own gym.
Yeah, that's right.
Set up that equipment, and here we go.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure I remember my first year, we had to close those big curtains. And then we had basketball on one side and our tiny area on the other side. But I think it was during my time there that the goals came down.
I took that curtain and put it in the dumpster.
Wow, that was a big curtain. It
took me about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
A little at a time, it went into the dumpster.
Wow.
And nobody could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Except us, because now we had a gym.
Yeah, a real gym. That's right.
Set our equipment up and leave it.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That was one of the times they would have fired me if they had known what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some principal did ask about it, and I said that was approved by the head of maintenance department, Mr. Young. Well, we didn't know anything about it. I said, well, you'll have to ask him because he approved the whole thing. He came over and looked around.
I said,
y'all go over there and talk to him. He died over the summer.
Oh.
Oh, really? I really liked him.
Oh, my God.
He was a big help. So, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It was not written approved, but it was verbally approved by him. Had some maintenance guys over here.
That's pretty good. I remember our gym, you had so many creative ways to get us to fine-tune our skill level. I remember a short, like, high bar that swung out from the wall and that we could just do, you know, tricks on.
Right.
Obviously, we had the pit with the big high bar above it. I still, to this day, in fact, I was using them the other day to do push-ups on. I have a pair of parallel bars that you made and that are still sturdy as can be to do practice handstands on.
Uh-huh.
And seemed like you were always thinking of ways to, you know, make us better and make us do things a little differently or a little better or... Mm-hmm.
And some of those things I thought up on my own, but a lot of them, ideas I stole from other people.
And made.
As I traveled, I paid attention to things other people were doing and bring them back to the gym.
Yeah.
And I went to clinics that some of the experts were really doing. I still have some notes from a Japanese coach that came over.
Oh, wow.
And as he was talking, I was writing down notes. Then when I came back to the gym, and those standing front handsprings I had you do.
Yeah.
I learned from him.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I still have those notes. He changed the whole country over here about how to do things.
How long did he spend with you?
I went to 4 or 5 of his clinics.
Okay.
So, not me personally, but I was part of a group.
Okay. Wow.
But I was writing those things down and would...
Yeah.
Being a high school coach, you couldn't do everything that he was doing because their stuff goes for years and years.
Yeah.
The Japanese way.
They start young and...
And young.
Work them in.
We have a Japanese coach here in Dallas now who has that way of doing things. And his son is now 14. And I judged him earlier in the year. And everything he did was, if it's possible, beyond perfect.
Wow.
It was just, the simple skills were amazing to watch.
Wow.
And he tried to say, well, I didn't really coach him.
I said, oh, no.
I said, you find somebody to believe that.
Yeah. Wow.
And their way is that when they get up to the higher skills, their other stuff is so perfect. That's the way it turns out.
That foundation is there.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing about coaching. If something goes wrong with a big skill, go back and see what the fundamentals, if it's a fundamental wrong.
Yeah.
I remember teaching you the flyaway with a full twist over off of high bar and setting that foam cube over there for you to look at.
Oh, yeah.
You would release and look for that foam cube.
Yeah.
And then we went to a meet, maybe in Lubbock or something. We get ready for the high bar. I look, and there's a foam cube sitting out there on the floor. I thought, that's pretty good. You had brought that with you.
That's wild. Yeah, definitely. Learning how to help each individual, I guess, gymnast. But.
Right. And just like one of our guys, if he warmed up on the pommel horse starting on one end, he could not do the routine from the other end. Even though the matting was the same, the horse was the same. So I learned to watch him. And if he walked up to the wrong end, I'd come over here. Because he would fall off and say, I'm facing the wrong way. I'm facing the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's all the same. No, I'm facing the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you have to watch him.
Yeah.
High bar, the same thing. He could not warm up one way and then start facing the other.
Yeah. That's wild. That reminded me of Landon King and his feet wouldn't point. And
right.
You created a strap on his...
On his pants.
Pants to overcome that or hide it or something.
Yeah, it hit his foot. He kind of looked like Gumby, but there's no... They couldn't take off his toes not being pointed.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't see them.
Yeah, and that wasn't any fault of his. That was just his anatomy or whatever, but...
And I had some people who were so talented at different things, amazing. But the guy on your team that could do a full twisting vault.
Yeah.
And the other coaches would get mad about it. Why does he keep winning? Because his vault is harder than yours and you can do it every time.
Yeah.
And the other kids, the other coaches hated him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, he was the nicest guy to the other team of anybody you ever met.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
But he also had a fierce, competitive spirit.
Yeah.
I said, Lydia, one of me, I said, I hope he hits this ball. She said, look at his face.
So who was this?
Greg Joyner.
That's who I was going to say. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Well, his sophomore year...
He had a vicious vault and vicious high bar routine.
Right. And the competitive spirit to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
When she said, look at his face, you knew.
Yeah.
But the other kids, one of the Abilene High parents said, I hate that guy. He's beating my son. I said, your kid's only doing a handspring.
Yeah.
It's a good handspring, but it ain't that.
Yeah. At a whole different level.
That's right.
So we had a rallying call before and after each meet where we'd put our hands in and we'd yell, oh, Gamba.
That's right.
Where did Gamba?
That's a Japanese word.
Come from?
It means go for it.
Okay.
In Japanese.
How did that become a
It came
Cooper's
from that
rallying call?
Gentleman.
Did it really?
That I knew back in 1973 or 4.
So that dated back a while.
It dated back a while, it did.
Yeah. Because I never heard that before or probably since, I guess, if I had to think about that. That's pretty good.
It was.
Was that something that you kind of plugged in there somehow, or was it?
I got y'all to do that. But also, 1979 World Championships was in Fort Worth. And that's when the principal let me go up and work at the meet for about a week. And that was the call of the Japanese team to one another.
Okay. And you like that?
I thought that's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was just a way of our team, man. That was, as soon as you walk in and start becoming a part of that team, that was part of the deal.
But I liked when we walked into a team and we already had a reputation.
Yeah.
And people would see us walk in, and I always felt like it put a little fear in them.
Yeah.
And we didn't brag about it. We just went out there and did a good job. And as Kyle Bowman said once to me, I said, this guy across town is doing a lot of talking about, how he's going to beat you. He said, I'm going to do my talking on the equipment.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And we did.
Yeah.
Thanks to that foundation that you instilled in us. But I don't remember a lot of negativity, like even with Abilene High. I mean, Jimmy Chai Kong was my roommate my freshman year at OU, and he was a competitor at Abilene High. And I don't remember, and I remember George...
Armendariz.
Uh-huh. He was top quality guy, and he was at the same college as a cousin of mine. And it just seemed like we still, even though we were competitors with so many of these teams, I don't remember a lot of hatred or negativity or anything. Maybe there was a little more than I gave it credit for.
I didn't want any of that.
Yeah.
As I said, we were going to do our talking on the equipment. We weren't going to badmouth anybody or any of the other coaches. I didn't always get along with all of them.
Yeah.
But that's not the way to do things. Talk behind people's back and be mean to them.
Yeah.
I remember taking one team, may have been yours, we went to the meet, and I said, now, you guys, when you get there, I want to hear you talking and supporting the Odessa High team. And you said, wow, Odessa High, they're the worst. I said, that's exactly why. Mm. They will appreciate your support. And when you win, they'll be the ones cheering for you, not the second place team.
Yeah.
But that was to build a good gymnastics for the whole state.
It did. Yeah.
I judged a meet this weekend, and one of the kids fell off the rings. It's pretty scary. He was not very good, not from one of the better teams. I called him over as a judge. I said, I want you to go over there. You're supposed to have 30 seconds to get back up. I want you to go over there with your coach. You have all the time you need to get focused and do your best for the rest of this routine. He wasn't going to win, but it was scary. Do the best you can. It will.
Did he get back up?
Yeah.
And he finished?
He did.
Good.
Didn't get a good score, but he finished.
But he's able to get back up. Right. That's
But it was scary to me, and I'm sure to him.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some scary injuries, and again, that's just part of it, I guess. And,
right.
And, I can remember a few times, but we just worked through it and get it done. So, well, this is, I think I got through most of the gymnastics stuff. Is there anything just from a personal level? I mean, again, we've been able to keep somewhat connected periodically. We've had some, Greg Joyner's offered up his family, Lake House. We've gotten our group together. And, I've had some difficulties trying to connect with Greg Clark and Kyle Bowman. Although Kyle Bowman came to my mother's 70th birthday party in Abilene. I was very thankful for that.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think we're all trying, and it takes an effort to do that. But is there anything else, I guess, just personally, and anything else to reflect on?
Well, I feel great that I've keeping up with your group, and I have about 5 groups that I have some connection with. I judged a gymnastics meet 2 weeks ago. One of my 76 graduates was judging with me at the table.
Cool.
One of my 79 graduates was judging.
Oh, cool.
And I know I keep up with a lot of people in that group, the parents and the athletes. One of my favorite things is that in the beginning, I got to know so many parents because of we were having to raise money to buy equipment and things like that. And then like with your mom and some of the other moms in that group, there were single moms that needed some support.
Yeah.
And then the 1982 group, we'd like to hunt. And several of their families had land where we could go hunting. And I have one of them call me every now and then. We talk, and I try to keep up with their families, and it just goes all the way up through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think I built a lot of, or in conjunction with them, built a lot of great relationships.
Yeah.
And I love you and your family.
Yeah.
Your guys are great. Your wife is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've gotten to know my 2 boys fairly well, and well, I appreciate the time. I got a couple other random things, but I think it's actually a good time to wrap it up.
I think so.
And there's a lot of people, and myself included, that I don't think would be here without you. So.
Well, thank you for saying that.
So I love you too.
I love you. When we selected the judges for high school state meet, a man from San Angelo is going to judge. And they said, does anybody know very much about this man? I said, I do.
Oh, boy.
I said, all of the years competing
do against... Do I need to record again?
No. All of the years competing against San Angelo, I got to know him and his brother. Both of them were competing against us and his parents. This man comes from an awesome family.
Oh, that's awesome.
They said, what does that say about judging? I said, it says everything.
That's right. It means he's going to do the right damn thing is what it means.
It means exactly. Yeah. I don't know anything about his judging, but I know he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he judged this weekend with us too.
Oh, good.
Just all of that means everything to me. Yeah. Same thing this man I judged with. Graduated in 76, Steve Rutledge. Mm-hmm. He was a ring champion back in those days. And I got him back into judging, and he was studying and all this stuff. And I told Lydia, I said, I'm going to be judging with Steve on vault. He's been doing videotapes, judging. He goes over the rules and over. She said, what have you done? I said, I have 50 years of experience. And if that fails, I'm going to copy off D.
Look at his paper. That's right.
Right.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
And I made him the head judge. I said, I'm going to come up with my score right here. And if you're just close, you just tell me the average and I'll put it down.
There you go. That's awesome.
No discussion needed if we're only a tenth apart.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
So the whole meet went so much better.
As long as you're seeing eye to eye on stuff. Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome.
But character is just